This evening, I'd like to share what is arguably one of the most sorrowful verses of Scripture. I'm continuing this little series of the bit parts of the Bible where we come across a name who makes a short appearance and then we don't hear of him or her much more after that. And tonight's individual is a gentleman by the name of Demas, and we come across him, in fact, three times in Scripture, but I'm going to focus upon 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Timothy for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defence no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. These words are probably written towards the end of the Apostle Paul's life. He is in prison. He is standing trial. Whether it was the final trial which saw his execution or whether he was released and he went on to perhaps go to Spain and then perhaps be martyred for the faith, we're not too sure. But here we have an older Paul writing to a younger man, Timothy. And he's quite clearly in need. There's a lovely sentence there about Mark, which I won't spend too much time speaking of. And he mentions various other characters. But he needs a cloak and he needs his books and he needs the scriptures. He is a man who has a defence to prepare, but he's probably lingering in a dark dungeon. Here is a great, glorious man of God laid low. And one of the reasons for that laying low, I think, is found in verse 9 in that reference to Demas. Demas is not somebody about whom we know a great deal. The other references to him are fairly neutral, but they are positive in a way as well. We come across him in the book of Philemon. He's only mentioned in passing, but he appears to be of help to the Apostle Paul. Likewise, in the book of Colossians, he is with Luke. And Demas, evidently, part of his ministry, it would seem, was to support the Apostle Paul in his. And yet when we come to this later passage in 2 Timothy, it all seems rather sad. So be diligent to come to me quickly. He wants Timothy to come to him. Why? Because Demas has forsaken me. It's certainly true that the Apostle Paul was not a respectable man in the first century. If he was indeed teaching strange doctrines or urging Romans to offer allegiance to a greater than the emperor, then that could land him and anybody associated with him in a deal of trouble. The Jews reject him because he's too much like a Gentile, and the Gentiles reject him because he's a Jew. He has opponents in Jerusalem, he has opponents in Corinth, he has opponents in Galatia. Wherever you find people, there are people opposed to the Apostle Paul, and yet he is a valiant for truth. He loves the Lord Jesus more than he fears all these opponents, and yet now he's been given something of a blow. A man he's been working with, a man he has trusted, has abandoned or deserted him. Perhaps when he needed him most. We know that Crescens and Titus have also departed, but there's no hint of criticism there. Perhaps they've gone off to do gospel work. Demas has not gone off to do gospel work, although he has certainly gone to a town where there is a faithful and fine gospel community at Thessalonica. He has forsaken Paul, perhaps because of his poor reputation while he is in that prison. perhaps because of the dislike of the Jewish communities, perhaps because of the Gentile communities. We're not sure, but he does supply us with a reason. Having loved this present world. So for having loved the world, he has forsaken or abandoned Paul. Paul and the Lord Jesus, of course, are not one and the same. And yet there is a sense here when Paul is writing the New Testament, he talks about my gospel, that those who reject Paul and the gospel he preaches are really rejecting the Lord Jesus himself. But Demas loved this present world. You might be tempted to think, well, what's wrong with that? Does not the most famous Bible verse say that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son? I don't think the love of Demas is quite the same as the love of God in John 3, verse 16. The implication here is that he's gone back into worldliness. He's ignoring or forsaking or abandoning or neglecting the world to come. The glorious resurrection world to come. And instead, he has become a child of this world. Was he ever a believer? Well, presumably, Paul thought he was at the time of writing Philemon and Colossians. Is he a true believer now? Well, the text would indicate not. Is he a believer who has simply compromised, become a Laodicean ahead of his time? Or has he actually exchanged the truth of God for a lie? Great and deep theological questions there. The present text does not really address them. But it does, I think, offer us incredible warning. Those of you who are familiar with John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress will have come across Demas as well. I think he's atop the hill Lucca, and he's looking down into a silver mine, and he claims to be a fellow pilgrim, and he's trying to get pilgrims off the narrow way that they might climb up that hill and by going down into the silver mine make themselves rich, but of course they end up falling to their deaths and never making recovery. Bunyan clearly has got his own view of Demas. He has abandoned Paul. He has forsaken the gospel. Worldliness is not a term we tend to use much anymore, but it was a term which was much used, I think, in the evangelical past. Being too much like the present world in which we live. Speaking like it. Thinking like it. Acting like it. Even dressing like it. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be different. We ought to stand out. That doesn't mean we ought to behave as though we were members of an exclusive sect. But there ought to be a difference in the kind of things which excite us and which we stand for. We should not just become pale replicas of the unbelievers with whom we live and work. Demas, I think, has disappeared into the Greco-Roman culture of his time. I think he is a sow who's gone back to wallowing in the mud. I think he is a dog who has returned to its own vomit. And there is a terrible warning here. I'm sure I'm not alone, but I imagine the Apostolic Church to really be the golden age. It's the blueprint of all the other churches. If we want to know if something we do at Salem Chapel is good or bad or helpful or not, we turn to the Bible. What did the first believers do? How could somebody who literally rubbed shoulders with the Apostle Paul, who could have said to him on those long sea journeys or those long journeys on foot, you know, when you were called up to heaven, or maybe not you, that person you spoke of, what was it really like? And when the Lord Jesus called you on that road to Damascus, What did you actually see? And when Jesus comes back, will there be an actual 1,000-year period? Or are we in... You could have asked Paul all those questions that we wanted to ask him, that we want to ask him. But despite that, he fell in love with this world and fell out of love with the world to come. I think the Apostle Paul is a great encouragement to us, and Demas is a terrible warning that we must remain faithful, that we must keep going. Paul, when you read these lines, I get the impression he is feeling quite down. When he most needed a human helper, that human helper took his leave and cleared off. And yet, if we were to read further into verse 17, he said, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Whatever Demas caused Paul to lack, the Lord made good. Whatever Demas robbed the Apostle Paul of, and I don't suspect he robbed him of money, but he robbed him of comfort and support and friendship and loyalty, that which was taken from him, the Lord was able to compensate. Paul needed Demas in that prison cell. But in verse 17, I think he needed the Lord more. So Demas is a warning to us. Would any who feel that they have been let down by Demas-like individuals, remember the Lord does not let us down. The Lord does not abandon us. The Lord does not tire of us. The Lord doesn't disappear when we're not popular, when we're old, and when we're in a jail cell facing the executioner. Amen.